Hey everyone, welcome to Poetry Pod. This is podcast number 15 on the poem Ozymandias, which was written by Percy Bysshe Shelley. The first heading on your worksheet is subject matter. Just to begin with a reminder, the subject matter of a poem is essentially what the poem is about. You can think of it as a brief summary of what happens in the poem or what is said in the poem. In Ozymandias, are there two or three ideas that could summarise what the poem is about? What happens at the beginning of the poem? Well, the speaker in the poem tells us about a conversation he had with a traveller to Egypt. This particular traveller had come across a once imposing statue of Ozymandias, who was a powerful pharaoh or king. However, what was most striking about the monument, according to the traveller, was not how impressive it was, but that time had reduced it to little more than rubble. The irony of the situation becomes clear when the traveller recalls that an inscription of Ozymandias's words into the base of the monument urged other rulers to look on his magnificent works and despair at his incredible and unmatched power. But over time, those once magnificent works have decayed to nothing, having been reduced to rubble. The second heading on your worksheet is theme. The poem has a number of possible themes. You could argue that the main theme in the poem is the power of time and how it can destroy even the most powerful rulers, empires, monuments and kingdoms. Another theme may be man's excessive pride and the way in which powerful rulers arrogantly believe they stand tall above everyone else. Ozymandias's contempt for others is suggested in the phrase, the sneer of cold command. Yet another possible theme could be the power of the written word and of art, which is suggested by the fact that the inscriptions on the pedestal have survived longer than the actual works themselves. When you think about this poem, what in your view is the main message? Write out one key theme and explain concisely what the poem says about this theme. The next heading is quote 3. Find three quotes that you think are interesting in the poem. Give one reason why you selected each quote. For example, does it give you a clear impression of Ozymandias and the type of ruler he was? Think of the description of Ozymandias's wrinkled lip and sneer of cold command. Does this quote suggest that Ozymandias was a ruthless tyrant who was detached from and possibly cruel to his people? Perhaps you like a very descriptive line that creates a clear or memorable image of the vastness of the desert in your mind. When you select each quote, briefly explain why you chose it. We move on now to imagery. So while Shelley decided not to use figurative language such as similes or metaphors in the poem, he does include many examples of graphic images. This is appropriate since the poem is introduced by a speaker who shares a tale told to them by a traveller to an antique land. The traveller uses word images to make his story more interesting for his listener. Hence the traveller includes vivid images of the monuments, two vast and trunkless legs of stone, as well as of the great king's appearance, with his shattered visage and wrinkled lip. The traveller also includes evocative images of the desert, with its expanse of sand, that seems to stretch endlessly into the distance. Find an image or two that had an impression on you, or that makes you think more about Ozymandias or the world in which he lived. The next heading is language. The language is conversational and descriptive throughout the poem. There are any number of adjectives that tell us more about Ozymandias's works and his demeanour. For example, antique land, vast and trunkless legs, wrinkled lip, cold command, lifeless things. Look over the poem to see if you can find other examples of similarly descriptive phrases where the poet uses adjectives. The impact of the adjectives is to paint a really clear and memorable word picture of the scene, so we can clearly visualise the decayed monument and therefore appreciate the irony of Ozymandias's proud, boastful inscription on the pedestal of his once magnificent monument. Shelley also takes a key verb to shatter and changes it into an adjective, shattered, in line 4, to refer to the king's decayed visage. This powerful word also suggests the ruination of Ozymandias's kingdom, which has been reduced to rubble and overcome by the lone and level desert sands. Can you see any other verbs in the poem that strike you as being interesting? We move on now to form. The poem is written in the sonnet form. This is possibly not the first time you have studied a sonnet. Can you recall some of the key features of a sonnet? For example, how many lines are in a sonnet? What are the first 8 lines of a sonnet called? Can you recall the term for the remaining 6 lines of the poem? Is there a change in attitude or tone between these 2 sections? As with most sonnets, the first 8 lines focus on description, while the remaining 6 lines of the sestet are more reflective and develop key themes in the poem, such as the passing of time, the futility of excessive pride, and the enduring nature of art and the written word. We move on now to sound. Does Shelley use a regular rhyme scheme or pattern? If you listen carefully, you will hear that end rhyme is used and the pattern is AB, AB, AC, DC, EDE, FEF. This is not the most traditional rhyme pattern, such as AB, AB, CD, CD, EFEF, GG, which can be seen in Shakespeare's sonnet, Shall I Compare Thee to a Summer's Day? In Ozymandias, the rhyme scheme seems a lot less stable. It appears to almost disintegrate as it moves from quatrain to quatrain and tercet to tercet. Could this be a clever way to suggest the breaking down of the once great monuments which are eroded by time? There are also several examples of alliteration in the poem. Cold command, the hand that mocked them, and the heart that fed, and of course, boundless and bare. Think about the impact of such alliteration. Does it tend to emphasize these key words in the poem? Can you see or hear assonance in the poem? An interesting example occurs in line 14, where Shelley writes, "The lone and level sands stretch far away." You can hear that repeated long, broad A sound in sands, far, and away. Or maybe the E sound in level and stretch. Both of these sounds suggest the vast expanse of distance and empty desert, uninterrupted by any great works or monuments or cities constructed under Ozymandias's reign. Finally, what about sibilance? Can you hear the repeated S sounds in the opening lines that describe the half-sunk stone standing in the desert? This hissing effect recreates a scene that is silent, apart from the hiss of sand being blown by wind across the desert. The next heading is tone and mood. The ironic tone in the poem Ozymandias becomes very obvious in the sestet. The poem illustrates the vanity of man in asserting that he is all-powerful and almighty. Ozymandias's vain boast is exposed as being ridiculous and foolish, since man is subject to the ravages of time, which ultimately destroys all great works, kings, and even kingdoms. The ironic tone in the poem underlines the decayed works of Ozymandias, and rather than fill other rulers and kings with a sense of awe, actually reminds them of their own mortality and their own inevitable demise. They too will be doomed to end up as dust and rubble along with any of their great, imposing, boastful works. In terms of mood then, did you think it was a pessimistic or reflective or sorrowful mood? What were your own thoughts or feelings on reading the poem? Did you feel a sense of despair on reading it? Or perhaps you feel the poem acts as a grave reminder that all humanity shares the same fate, and that ultimately, regardless of your status in society, we are all equal in the eyes of time. Is this idea consoling, or does it make you feel sad or melancholic? We turn now to the final section of your worksheet, which is personal response. Some students smile inwardly when they read that Ozymandias' power was eroded from him by time. Others feel sorry for a man who spent years building an empire only to have it reduced to dust. What are your thoughts about King Ozymandias? Do you feel sorry for him, or perhaps you feel he was arrogant and condescending and deserved his fate? What do you think of the way Shelley wrote the poem? Was the use of a story within the poem a clever way for the poet to convey his thoughts on power and how futile it is in the face of time? Think about some of these ideas and then write your own personal response into your worksheet.